While lots of car repair places give lip service to the care and feeding of your car, only one name is on the lips of people who want to keep their cars for 200,000 miles or more.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
Merlin 200,000 Mile Shops.
One repair chain is putting itself smack dab between you and the grim car reaper. Now, suppose I told you that chain has dedicated itself to helping you avoid car payments for as long as possible. I'll bet one name would be on your lips, too.
Thank you for calling Merlin. This is Don. How would you like to turn left at 100,000 miles and drive another 100,000 miles?
There's a drive for 200,000 going on at one place and one place only.
At Merlin, we care about you and your car.
Right now, you can get up to a $30 rebate on brake service at Merlin. Stop by for a free brake inspection or visit merlins.com for locations and to make an appointment.
And Blackhawks are both fighting for postseason glory. We're the only station in Chicago ready to deliver the level of playoff coverage you crave. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
3 o'clock from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Do or die for the Bulls this evening. They host Cleveland in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Semis. Pau Gasol set to suit up again after missing games 4 and 5 with a hamstring injury. He knows it's go time for the Bulls tonight.
There's got to be a sense of desperation in a way that brings the best out of you, the most fight out of you, the best spirit and effort out of you. And in that sense, yes. But as far as anxiety or nerves, no. I mean, right now we understand the position that we're in. We got to win 2 games to advance, and starting tomorrow at home.
Joakim Noah today named the NBA's winner of the J. Walter Kennedy Award for Community Service. Tip-off just after 7 tonight at United Center. Baseball, wild one going on at Wrigley as we speak. 5-5 in the sixth inning as the Cubs try to win their fourth straight over the New York Mets. Cubs were trailing this one 5-1 just moments ago. Chris Bryant tied it up with an RBI single. That's just after Anthony Rizzo had an RBI single himself. Anthony Recker for the New York Mets has 2 solo home runs. May not remember Anthony Recker, but he played 9 games for the Cubs back in 2012. Cubs promoted Billy McKinney today inside the organization. It's the outfielder that was included in the Addison Russell and Jeff Samardzija deal last fall. He's headed to Double-A Tennessee. White Sox off today there in Oakland for the first of 3 tomorrow night. Today the Sox sent Micah Johnson down to Triple-A Charlotte. Carlos Sanchez expected to be his replacement. Hockey, the Hawks shift up some defensive pairings this morning at practice. A reminder, we're still 3 days away from that series actually getting started, but today it was David Rundblad and Kimmo Timonen working together on the third pairing.
Stop saying that.
It might
be true. I'm not saying it's not true, but I don't need to be reminded of it.
I want to remind you.
Thanks.
Make your head try to explode or something. I don't know.
It already has.
That's the caller's job.
They're the ones calling for it, aren't they? Isn't that what they want?
Yes, they want my head to explode.
I say more run block.
He does. Oh, yeah. Kidding me? There's a line.
Man. The scoreboard update brought to you by Robert Morris University's Illinois Graduate School. Accelerate a master's in sports administration at RMU. And Inside the Clubhouse is presented by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on The Score, Friday night at 8:35 when the Sox take on the Athletics on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by my guys, St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Boars and Bernstein.
Lose momentum.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This radio 670 The Score. Boris and Marinci talking to you at 312-644-6767. You know, here's the thing, too. I'm a little, you know, I think that once you get sort of a reputation of what, you know, when coaches move around the NBA, a lot of times just, sometimes they find out something about them, like Mark Jackson, where 200 people in the organization didn't like him, were tired of him, didn't want him around. Just, you know, please make him go away. And you get Steve Kerr, which appears to me to be a great hire. I'm not an expert.
It looks like it's going okay to this point.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to say he's done okay. I find it curious in some ways, not all, but some ways, that there's this line waiting for Tom. Because if I'm running a franchise, and I should be running a franchise, but I don't have time, I'm not sure that I want him. And I think the problems with some coaches are this or that, and I don't know what's David Blatt's exact problem, do you think?
He's an idiot.
Okay. Well, see, that's a worse problem. That's the bigger problem. But I you know, if I'm running a franchise loaded with young players, I don't want him to kill them.
You know, we talked about this a while ago,
yeah,
and,
some
people were surprised when I said that for me, ideally, if I'm employing Tom Thibodeau, and I would love to employ Tom Thibodeau on my basketball team, I want him to run my defense
and
be completely in charge of all the film study, advanced scouting, etc.
It's not what the Pelicans are waiting for.
And during the games, he can call out all the defenses.
That's not what they're waiting for.
But I'm sorry that I think that there are some flaws in there that would give me real pause about turning over an entire roster to him and saying, put us in the best position to win multiple championships.
Well, I mean, you have a guy who could very well become the best player in the game within a couple of years. There's some work to be done, but he's really damn good and the most efficient player in the NBA, I believe. Do I want to do that? I mean, I think there's you know, coaching wise and all this stuff and all this, you know, man, I don't care about any of that. That's not what I would be really worried. I would be really worried trying to build a young roster. And you've got some veterans in Pelicans too that you can't do anything about. They're trying. You can't do everything at once. But I would be really concerned about that, even though I like Tom.
I know if you want to win a ton of regular season games or win the maximum amount of regular season games that you think your roster is capable of winning, hire him. I know that for sure. What I don't know is that he's the best to hire to try to win a title, because that's really the issue here. That's the primary disconnect, is that he ensures that your roster, as it's constructed, will probably win more regular season games than most people think it should. No matter who's on it, that day,
doubt.
You're going to have a great chance.
No
to
doubt.
Win.
I think he's terrific. I everybody in the NBA knows everything about everybody. I mean, that's sort of how it works, whether it's a coach or not. And you look at that list and then you get tired of that list. And then you say, how about Billy Donovan? Why don't we find him? Why don't we try him? Oftentimes the guys don't get tired of the list. They keep going back to it. The list is like two paragraphs long of recent NBA coaches and changes. But I would just have a very tough time knowing what I know. And they know what it is. This is hardly secret. What do you think is going wrong?
But there is probably a way to rationalize enough more good than bad, especially when you're not working with him every day, when you're not around him every day. That a team is going to say, we'll take that. It's okay. We'll take their teams that find themselves in a situation where say, we'll take our chances with that. That maybe in his second go round as a head coach, he learns, or maybe there's something different. I think he is what he is and will always be what
I
he will
too.
Be. But
I do too.
But
his philosophy about that stuff is never going to change.
No.
I mean, his strategy may change and he may do some other things and maybe find somebody or run a better offense or whatever it would be. But he's not going to change his essence.
You know, Bill Musselman kept getting work. I mean, you knew what that was, but he made your team better.
Boy, I think the price is too damn high, though, when you do that. I think that's, you know, I'm not blaming him for everything that happened here. I'm not. But I also understand over the years now, last couple in particular, where I understand what Garpax feels about this. I do. And when you have a coach who is going to move a practice because the team president is watching and he would like to get away and go somewhere where he can't get to.
Not to mention you have players avoiding the practice facility and practicing on their own at a private court because they don't want to be around their coach.
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot of stuff here. Like I say, that was my point about NBA teams know these things. I mean, this is not a secret, and it's not a secret why Garpax is unhappy, why there's his firing is coming as soon as the season is over, whenever that happens, whether it's tonight, maybe Sunday, maybe who knows, maybe later, a miracle. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? I can hire a guy. I can look at Lionel Hollins or some of these other guys, and I don't know him well enough, but everybody else does. You know what I mean? I can look at that hire and say, yeah, I kind of liked him when he coached, but I don't know enough about him as those guys do. This kind of coach, I'm sure he's not the only one, right?
Right.
He's not the only one. This is, of all the things that I could do, whether it's strategy or the handling or getting along with it, whatever it is, whatever that problem is, this to me, what he does is the worst of the worst.
In Andersonville, it's Tom on the score.
Hey, guys. Why don't you add a little bit of commentary on the fact that you were talking about kind of the excitement of the Bulls playoffs versus the Blackhawks playoffs. You know, I'm somebody who absolutely was a Bulls fanatic back in the Jordan years and when they were doing all the title runs. And why I probably am a little bit more excited about the Blackhawks now is based on the fact that there was so much fun with watching those Bulls, and there's so many peripheral players like the Horace Grant, the Bill Weddington.
What was fun about watching Bill Weddington?
You knew all these guys. They were, they were just so entertaining to watch. They were such a good group together. So I know Jordan had his problems with some of the other players, but they were all just fun. And
what did
Bill
Weddington do that was fun?
Yeah, what did I want to know more.
I'm confused here.
We want to examine you. We want to get you on the table and examine you.
You saw a big cloudy guy out there who looked like he was having fun.
He looked like he was having fun.
How about Luke Longley?
He was a pick and pop, face the basket.
How about that guy Luke Longley?
I think you're projecting.
Guy,
Tom, I think
Luke
you're...
Luke Longley's another guy that just kind of stood there and looked like he was having fun.
I don't know which. I think you're projecting things here. I think you're commingling.
The bottom line is that they're winning six championships.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's
correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And it was exciting. And
a lot of it was awful basketball, too.
But they were winning.
A lot of it was really bad basketball.
They were winning, and sometimes the competition wasn't that good. And, I get it. But what my point is, going back to my original point, is that Derrick Rose, I've got to admit, I've been watching the Hawks more, and I'd say he's a disappointment. You want this guy to be great. You want him to reach everything you thought he was going to be. And it's just kind of frustrating because, he gets hurt, not his
fault.
But
he's not hurt right now.
Yeah, he's.
I thought the hand is, or the wrist is hurt.
No, it's just a sting. Okay. He's okay. He'll be fine tonight.
It's just tough to watch because he struggles to shoot. He goes through times where he can't hit a shot.
Well, and that's it. And that's frustrating.
But again, Tom, my suggestion to you is just don't mix it all up. You were a Bulls fan when the Bulls were winning championships, and you're a Hawks fan now because the Hawks are winning championships. Okay, well, then forget all the rest of it. You don't need any of the rest of it.
Yeah, you hop on for the party.
Look like they're having fun. No, you're having fun. They look like they're having fun because you're having fun because they're winning. Derrick Rose never looks like he's having fun because he never smiles.
No. That's the first time the other night I ever seen his kid. When he had him at the post-game presser.
Yeah, the old Dusty Baker move there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is it going to be the new Darren Baker?
Actually, it was Dusty's kid he had. I'd never seen a kid before. Cute kid. Well, he's got his eyebrows. It's very interesting. Yeah, so I looked at him and said, oh, my God, that certainly is his kid. But I'm not going to scold anybody. And that's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying, that you enjoy six championships. The Hawks have two. And they're going to be around for a while. Hawks aren't going away. I mean, the players that matter are going to be there for a while. So this Hawks ride is far from over. It's far from over. So I recommend, too, if you're any kind of a sports fan, or even if you're not, you can have a hell of a time with this.
We will take the sixth caller to the contest line, 312-591-6700, not the regular line, the contest line. And you'll win a pair of tickets to the 2015 Wells Park Craft Beer Fest, taking place on Saturday, May 23rd at Wells Park. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit CHIBeerWeek.com. A question from a 310 texter said, can you expand on players practicing on private courts away from the coach? Yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
It's one of the things when they moved to the Advocate Center, that the part of the reason was they were having an issue with that, where up in Deerfield, there happens to be a privately run basketball facility that is right around the corner from the Berto Center. And when players wanted to just shoot and just be on their own and have sort of a stress-free opportunity to get some shots up,
yeah.
they couldn't go to the Birdo Center because Tom Thibodeau never leaves the facility ever. It's oppressive. He never leaves. And they're always, you know, coach is always there. And they just wanted to go relax and talk. And it's sort of like I always say about the NFL weight room, that there's got to be a time and a place at your own facility when you can complain about your job, or you can sort of not feel like you're being watched, or you can just relax a little bit and go on about your work. And there were Bulls who didn't feel they could do that. They tried to make Tom Thibodeau take a vacation. That's another story where they said, go away, take a vacation. And I don't want to. So he finally agreed to do it. And this is what I was told. He said, okay.